Well, we have some special friends that we usually hear only over Pal Talk. Mark and Gwen Amedy are here from Houma, Louisiana, which is about 50 miles south of New Orleans. I don't know if any of y'all saw this, but I did. It was just totally awesome. The Lord was merciful with New Orleans. I mean, you can imagine the devastation there is, but I saw the hand of the Lord reach in there and touch that thing. I was watching the radar, and this solid mass of hurricane was going ashore, and I saw dip down from the northwest like a finger of warm air that stuck right into the middle of that. You could see it just as plain, and it kind of swirled around as the thing turned, and it sucked it into the vortex of that thing, and it knocked it down. Well, it probably knocked it down right over Mark and Gwen's house. Because God bless them, and they've got a real good story to share with us. And, you know, and especially what's going on over there in Louisiana, and what the Lord's doing, and what's happening with the government. And he was sharing all kinds of things. Mark and Gwen were both sharing all kinds of things with us earlier. And it was very interesting. They've got a good testimony. I want to invite them to share something with you. Mark's got his shofar here, too, you know, so he might even blow that for you. It don't matter to me. You might want to hold that mic for him there. There you go. Thank you. Don't get it too close. Right. Praise the Lord. You might want to tell us a little something about that.
Well, what we just did was scatter the enemy. The sound of the shofar is one sound. There's many sounds, many different trumpets, many ways they blew the shofar, some for scattering the enemy, some to usher in the presence of God, some to bring the wall down in Jericho. And overcome the enemy without any weapons being drawn. They blew the shofar, and the enemy, when they came to attack, was so scared they just turned around and ran away. You know, they just backed off.
It was awesome, awesome. Praise the Lord.
It was one of the battles of Israel that Israel was having, and that's when God told them, blow the trumpets, you know, and they blew the shofars.
You know what the Lord showed me about the shofar in the Spirit is that it turns breath into something that can be heard by man. And breath and spirit's the same word. It's like the word of the Spirit is what the symbol is there. It's the word of the Spirit that scatters the enemy. You know, you take Moses, he spoke the word of the Spirit. Those judgments fell upon them Egyptians and they were scattered, you know.
Amen. Well, God blessed us through the storm. Yeah. We give him all the glory. I mean, our house wasn't touched. The neighbor next to us on one side, or left side, the shingles on the roof were blown off. A lot of down trees around the area, a lot of down power lines. about 20 miles from us, a levee broke and they had, I want to say about 9 feet of water, probably in some of the houses. Most of the houses, well, everywhere in that town of Montague was flooded out. Down in Dulac, which is another place, the prison. They had to evacuate the prison in Houma because it flooded out. They moved them all to Baton Rouge. They also, I work for the school board over there, and one of the schools just reopened on December the 6th. It had water, a full foot of water in the school, you know. So it was pretty bad. I mean, a lot of things happened. They had just debris everywhere. My air conditioned man, so I got to go down to Bayou and I got to see the damage, a lot of damage done. And as far as New Orleans, they called it a cleansing. Even my neighbor, who knows nothing about the Lord, Catholic neighbor, came up to me and he says, do you know what Katrina means? It's, you know, cleansing. Mm-hmm. And what better place can it hit?
Oh, yeah.
You know, but New Orleans, sure, they needed it the most because of the sin of New Orleans. He also, politicians in Louisiana is getting really, really shook up right now. They just passed a recall on the governor because they said they there's a lot of finger going on. They said she dropped the ball. She let things go too long before things were done. You're hearing advertisements on the radio right now with lawyers who are trying to sue the insurance companies because they're not paying, because they said the governor didn't act fast enough, so they're not liable for covering the damages on the people's houses. How they get that, I don't understand it. You know, I don't know how it happens. But we came in today. We drove through New Orleans. And I tell you, the streets in New Orleans, when we were passing on the interstate, you can look down the streets and you might see one or two cars. And, I mean, it's just, it's like a, I guess you'd have to say a ghost town. The last I heard on the radio, you can hear the news, and they'll say there's like 80,000 people back in a city that had over 500,000 people. You know, they got 7 schools open where they once had 67 schools open. It's the 9th ward. They said you're hearing rumors that they're just going to bulldoze it down because, I mean, everything, that water went so high, it went to the rooftops of the houses. Houses are moved off the blocks. Houses are tilting over. They said it's so dangerous, the houses are just falling, just collapsing, and they're going to just want to bulldoze it, and they're talking about letting anyone move back in that area again. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people are upset about it because that was their homes and talking rebuilding, but they're saying it's unsafe. It's like 7 feet below sea level. And New Orleans, they call it the big fish pond. They call it a fish bowl, you know, and that's about what it added up to. It filled up with water pretty good. The dome, a lot of things people didn't hear about. I heard firsthand from a friend of mine who's the sheriff of Terrebonne, went to New Orleans to try to help out, and he said they had so many people shooting at them, snipers and all, they gave up, you know. They said, people that were kind of crazy, you know, they're shooting at us and we're trying to help them. You know, it just, it goes to show you. And then another thing that happened is the first thing the mayor said and he wants to do is bring Mardi Gras back. We're going to bring Mardi Gras so we can get the economy kicked off again. Well, it's amazing how God works, because the people are saying we don't care about Mardi Gras. We don't need Mardi Gras. We just want our city rebuilt. So it's a lot of turmoil. And the elections in Terrebonne, you know, I was telling Brother David earlier, how can you imagine God doing a certain thing with the money? Or how can you imagine government and things happening in a government? And I know when I say this, y'all heard him say it before. They called off the elections, you know, and we have heard things said about the presidential election maybe being called off because of war, the attack of terrorists coming against America. And you think, how can it happen? But they called the elections off in New Orleans. We're supposed to have elections in February in New Orleans for mayor, councilmen, and all that's been called off. It's been postponed. That's how it happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And how can a government operate with no money? They can't. The police station was in St. Bernard. Parish wasn't getting any money, and they were filing for bankruptcy. I mean, they couldn't pay none of their people. Doctors and nurses are losing their jobs because they can't get any pay. I mean, there's no one to pay them, you know. And a lot of the hospitals are closing down. The charity hospitals is closed down. They said it'll never reopen. Tulane Medical, they said the same thing about, you know, it'll never reopen because the water's just totally just devastated everything. My wife went to the zoo. They opened it for free to get people back in New Orleans. And she's seeing things on warehouses, just people wrote on the signs. And, you know, the things we've seen on our local news that was showing up, I don't think a lot of people got to see but my friend was telling me they were going in with boats, and they said, don't worry about the people floating in the water, just tie them to a sign and just get to the people that you can get off the rooftops. You know, so many people they had to cut out. He said you can hear people banging on the roofs, you know, when they get to the house. He said you'd have to hear it. You can just hear them knocking, and they cut the roof out and pull them through the holes of the roofs and all. He said it was really bad. And they opened up tourism for the first time, I think it was this week, and it sold out for people to see the devastation that was done. And, I mean, people are paying to see this now. It just sold out. People want to see the hand of God, and it is the hand of God, I'm telling you. When we crossed the Lake Pontchartrain Bridge today, I can remember the other side. It was a bunch of big old houses. Rich, rich people lived on that end, and they had their houses built right on the edge of the lake where they had their yachts parked. And I told Gwen today, I said, look at this yacht. They had a yacht, I'm talking, maybe 200 yards inland, just sitting dry right there. And I said, look at this. Isn't this something? And these houses, all you see is the pollens. Mm. I mean, all along that coastline, they had houses that's gone. Nothing left.
Mark, didn't you tell me about some of the land down there actually is gone? The fingers down at the bottom of...
Yeah, they said the Mississippi took a new course. And we heard a lot about it, that the Mississippi cut a new path. And when the storm came in, the waters just like cut a hole through the levee. And they said the fingers that used to stick out at the edge of Louisiana where the water from the Mississippi and the little canals used to bleed out is gone. They said it's all, everything's gone. Lower towards Venice is still places that are just underwater. You know, it's nothing but water now. Mm-hmm. And they said what happened to the Mississippi on that end, and they showed some pictures, the barges went on top of the levee, and the weight of the barges hitting against it, I guess that's what they figure broke the levee. Mm-hmm. And on that end of the state, they showed houses just sitting in the middle of the road. I mean, houses, churches floated off the foundations there in the middle of the highways, and still, from what I'm understanding, still right now, that part of the road on down mm-hmm. is still closed. Mm-hmm. You know, none of that's reopened. And but they said that towards the end, like that, is where the Mississippi took its new course, you know. And we heard about that for a while, and then it just went solid. You don't hear about it anymore. You know, they more concentrated. Everything's really concentrated on New Orleans, trying to rebuild New Orleans. And, I mean, everybody you talk to in our parish, we have a lot of people working in our parish from St. Bernard in New Orleans who say they're never going back.
Yeah.
Never. There's nothing to go back to. They just don't want to see it happen again. You know, they know the sin. And I tell you what, it's to my amazement, Bourbon Street never closed.
Mm-hmm.
It's still gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And you say, how can they think and continue doing these things when they know, you know, what God has done? So it's coming again. You know, I believe this year, July is going to come around, and, you know, don't be surprised to see New Orleans take another hit, or Louisiana take a hit, a couple of more hits.
Yeah.
You know, because my wife had a dream or vision of a hurricane coming up the Atchafalaya River, which is Morgan City. And if that happens, they told us in Homer, and it's the funniest thing, it came on the news, and they said if that hurricane would go up the Atchafalaya, the city of Homer where we live would be 8 foot underwater, and New Orleans would just be really, because we'd get the worst end of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were pretty fortunate we didn't get the worst end. We were kind of in between. So.
And Gwen had a dream that actually happened.
That actually happened, yep.
Yeah. So that's
and these two storms were not the two.
Something coming pretty soon down the road here.
Right, because these two storms were not the two. Even though Rita looked like it was going to be the one,
yeah.
Rita drifted over towards Cameron and Lake Charles, and I mean, it just leveled everything over there. It just wiped it out. The water, Mississippi, you know, Biloxi, and the y'all heard David say about the capital of Louisiana being shaken? Well, it's being shaken. I mean, all the way to Baton Rouge, the capital is being shaken. And I tell you what, they're really doing some, you know, I guess you would say the politics was so bad in Louisiana, God had to clean it up.
You know?
I think we're the worst state in the nation.
Yeah.
And the corruption. And, I think he's
and Edwin's gone, and it's still that way.
I can say some things. I don't think I will, you know, because you hear so many people talking, and mm-hmm. and everybody around us is just saying the things, you know. But we know it's the judgment of God, and
yes.
We know there's more judgment to come. It's just the beginning, and we also know that we felt safe, that God was telling us to stay during the storm, so. We felt peace about staying. We didn't feel about leaving. Although all our neighbors around us left, we just felt the peace to stay. And praise God, we got a big oak tree in the yard. Stay there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the poles around the house, everything stayed up. Just a few trees, I think, further down our street, they had a couple of trees that fell. You know, pine trees mostly, like the easiest tree to snap, you know. But my wife said it was it got really scary for about 4 hours, you know. The wind really picked up, and, I mean, it was howling.
Y'all got the leading edge of the storm before it broke down, too, didn't you?
Right. Yeah, when it was coming towards us, it was so scary. The people, we had newsmen saying, if you didn't leave, you're going to die.
Thank you.
Because The winds were around 175, and I want to say, and I don't want to misquote them, but I want to say in New Orleans, they clocked some winds pretty well up there around Slidell. You know, that was way up, and they said some of the weather stations were not getting true readings, and they clocked walls of water, I want to say 50-foot walls of water on their buoys right offshore. I know you're familiar with their buoys.
Yeah.
And they caught walls of water, like 50-foot tidal surges coming in, and they said that's what did all the damage was the tidal surges. It really wasn't, I don't believe, as bad as the wind, you know, as that tidal surge that comes through. But praise God, we know when this one comes, we're going to leave. Mm-hmm. The one that God showed Gwen, because he said it's going to be the one, and we're going to have to leave. He's already, you know, told us, we already feel, we know, you know, we're not staying for that one. There will be a cleansing of South Louisiana, you know, and the Gulf Coast, and it may not recover, you know. But as far as New Orleans, the people saying it's coming back, and I don't see it recovering. Everybody you talk to, everybody says it's not coming back. It will never recover. They still finding bodies in houses, bones now. They finding bones in houses. They're not finding bodies anymore. Mm-hmm. It's bones they finding. You probably never know the true count because they said a lot of them were probably washed out into the Gulf. So you'll never know the true count of. Right now they're saying 1,300, 14, well, maybe close to 1,400 now that they have in the morgue. But
and you saw a refrigerator truck, didn't you?
Yes, they had a refrigerator truck where we at, and they wouldn't tell you much about it, you know, but they were bringing bodies to it. But a lot of the bodies, which... they didn't want people, I guess they try to hold back from the people, was old folks' homes. A lot of the old folks' homes went underwater, and a lot of the people drowned, older people, the elderly people. The mayor of, I was telling David, the mayor of Jefferson Parish's mama, he kept telling her, the weather service guy, Walter Matrice, his mama, and he kept telling her, we come and get you, mama, we come and get you, and he said, they're coming to get you, and started on Monday. And by Friday, she called, when y'all coming? They're on their way, they're coming. Well, Friday she drowned, Friday evening, before they even got there. That's how they just couldn't get to the people. And they warned the people. I mean, you can hear what you want, what the news media is going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you, they told everyone, get out of New Orleans. And they kept on over and over pleading with the people to get out. They knew what it was going to be. They knew it was going to be a bad one. But they didn't, right? That's where the governor would not give them the transportation to leave because it would cost too much money. They were worried about she was worried about getting too much in debt for the state. So, you know, that's why a lot of them didn't get out. And some of them stole buses and loaded them up with elderly people and left, you know, left with the busloads. And all the rapes you heard about and that they said is not true is true. Y'all going to hear more about it. I mean, lawyers are already, you know, they're already looking for the people. I mean, you know, they had a lot of bad things happen, a lot of robberies. A lot of police officers were taken. They said they had cop cars, but they just loaded down with jewelry and everything from the jewelry stores. You know, they said their bumpers were dragging the road, and they were leaving town. And I mean, stealing brand new cars off the lot. Police officers saying they were using it for police work, you know, and they were just using it for their own use, you know. It's sad what think these things can bring, and how. People do just about anything, you know, to survive. Whether it's killing their own brother.
What do you think about these other sin cities that are, some of them about to be hit, you know, with earthquakes, with atomic explosions?
It's coming.
What kind of mass hysteria is going to happen around these cities, you know?
Right. And what I'm telling everybody is, let me tell you, with no money, your government can't function. If there's no money to pay police officers, you have no police officers. I'm going to tell you, we've seen it. We've seen everything. You've seen a mayor that didn't sleep for days because he didn't know what to do, you know. You got a Superdome with no roof full of people raining in the Superdome. People are just panicking over everything. They got people just falling dead on the street, and they're just covering them up. I mean, you know, and it's total chaos. And this was just a hurricane. This is not an explosion like this is not a terrorist attack that can happen and really be bad. You know, I'm telling you, government can shut down and you can see police ought to take over. And I tell you, they told us martial law, meaning you take the law in your own hands. You know, that's what people were saying. You are the law.
Yeah.
If somebody comes to your house, you are the law. You know, they started martial law curfews, and when they say off the street for 6 o'clock, you're off the street for 6 o'clock. You know, I mean, you could see the control and how the government can really take over and control people. We've seen it happening, and I say, Lord, forgive me, because I couldn't picture it in my mind how it would ever happen. How can they postpone elections? How a government can take control? How we wouldn't have police or fire departments or anything to take care of your fires and your police or your power? Our power company, energy bank, filed bankruptcy. You know, you have an energy company filing bankruptcy. You see your gas price, refineries, you know, knocked out of commission. Look what happened to your gas prices. If a terrorist was to hit two or three refineries in Louisiana, you finish. The whole country is hurt. I mean, it's going to knock this whole country in a serious situation. Because I think eight, I was telling you what was knocked out. They had only two operating, I believe. And then the ones that were operating in Lake Charles, and what happened? Rita hits Lake Charles and knocks them out of commission. Mm-hmm. Port Arthur, Texas. Mm-hmm. It knocks those refineries out. Mm-hmm. Hill City, it was Murphy Oil, had the biggest oil spill. They settling right now with people who will never be able to go back because their land's contaminated, you know, with benzene. I think it was bad stuff. And they said, they're gone and they're scraping the top layer of the dirt and they say everything's okay. But they got people said it's not okay. They said the government's lying to them because they know you can't just take an inch or two of dirt off and everything's okay. It gets down deep, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a cancer-causing agent, chemical.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to see the hand of God. And I tell you, they always talked about the perfect storm. If every one of you watched this storm on the news, it was the perfect hurricane, perfect diameter, perfect eye, perfect everything. And platforms offshore were flipped over. Natural gas lines were, you know, ruptured.
A lot of those platforms aren't up yet, are they?
No.
They're not even going to replace some of them.
They're not in production. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what's hurting our gas, our oil production right now, because these are all producing platforms.
Yeah.
They tilted one of the biggest ones out there. I think it was Shell Oil that tilted over and flipped over. You know, and I mean, they'll never have that thing rebuilt. It'd take them, you know, 10 years or so. I wasn't in an oil field. I'm not an oil field man, but I know you know how long it takes to put one of those platforms up. It just don't happen overnight.
No.
You know, and they can't find divers. They cannot find enough divers to inspect the natural gas lines under the water to see the damage that was done, or how much gas they losing, or how much natural gas is just spewing. They just, you know, they can't find. They're paying any kind of price to get New Orleans. You can go to New Orleans. Anybody in this place can go to New Orleans right now and get a job in a second.
Mm-hmm.
They can't find people, you know, to work. And I mean, that's why the Hondurans. There's a lot of Honduras people. They say Mexicans. It's, you know, it's a lot of people from Honduras who are out there working labor. And these people are working very, very hard. And I seen something done. I went to a house down the bay that was underwater, full foot, and these people tunnel underneath there and they jacked this house 8 foot off the ground. You know, a brick house on a slab. How is it possible to see that? But they do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can do it. And I guess that's about. We just can thank the Lord. That's all I can say. Thank God that He spared us and spared our city this time. But as long as they can continue with the sin of the Mardi Gras, and I'm going to tell you, people. You know, not to offend anyone, but the homosexuality is going to be judged one way or another, the sins. Because Sodom and Gomorrah was not spared, God is not going to spare America. You know, He didn't spare those people. It would go against God if He would spare the sins of America, the murdering of the babies, the homosexual. If He would spare us for what He did to Sodom and Gomorrah, because what are we? Maybe 10 times worse, mm-hmm. if not more, you know,
mm-hmm.
than what they were. And it's a serious thing. It's a serious thought we better think of, you know. We really got to pray.
And amen. Believe God.
This is the time. I mean, I always used to say, my old saying, this is the last of the last days. You know? We live in
it. Yes, it is.
Praise God. I believe that's about all I have to say.
Well, you know, thank you very much. God bless you for that. I appreciate it very much.